Welcome to Inside MTV's Siesta Key, our show about MTV's newest reality show set right here in Sarasota, Florida on Siesta Key. I'm Brian Reese, and with me, as always, is
Elizabeth DeGennis
and Wade DeTangelo.
And we're all with the Sarasota Herald Tribune, the local newspaper in the Siesta Key area. And we're going to talk about episode two today. And I got to say, there was blood and guts and surgery and some scenes that were really very Florida. Not the scenes mostly with the cast, but let me just say, that scene where Chloe is going back to her mom's house, it was so typically Florida.
Yes.
It was.
But let's start at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So what happened, Elizabeth?
Well, I was going to say, before we even go further than the plot.
Yeah.
So last week, if you guys noticed, the voiceover intro was done by Juliet.
Right.
I think we might have talked about this a little bit last week. Now it was done by Chloe. And I actually thought, I don't know if they're going to do this rotating pattern, if they're just switching it out. That was much more effective. I don't know what you guys thought, but Chloe was better, I thought.
I think that Chloe was better for sure. But I think a different person is going to be kind of the focus every week.
Yeah.
And this week it was definitely Chloe. Last week it was definitely Juliet.
Yeah.
Mostly. I mean, everything's focused on Alex all the time, but
right.
Stupid Alex. But so maybe next week it might be one of the boys.
Yeah.
And I think it depends on who they're focusing on that week, but I don't know.
I think they'll probably keep switching it up. I think having one of the women narrate it, since the women have the least interesting roles so far, could be make for more entertaining.
I mean, they have the least interesting roles, but they have the most screen time.
Yeah.
Well,
they do.
And I think my point about the intros, too, goes back to Laguna Beach, which is that in their tradition, they had one narrator, and it was, for the most part, this girl, Lauren Conrad, who everybody liked, and she was the good girl. And I think people really related to that. So I've read some comments online that were like, oh, we didn't like Juliet narrating because she's not related.
Because she's bad at it, too.
Right, exactly. I mean, really. That too. She's just not good at it.
Right. So let's just, like, stuff that happened between episodes, essentially, is that Amanda and Chloe were driving home in an Uber, and Chloe admittedly was kind of prodding Amanda about the whole Brandon thing.
Right.
And then Amanda just up and popped her a couple times in the face.
In the nose, yeah. And what I found most interesting is there's no discussion of who's going to pay for the medical bills, no discussion of the nose job that then was alluded to. It was just another day.
Right. Well, she was supposed to go get surgery on that nose. Right. But, like, there was nothing that indicated.
No.
I mean, I guess they could have gone up and in, but apparently it was broken in two places. And that led to my favorite scene in the entire show, when she's coming home from having surgery and they're walking down that corridor where her mom obviously lives at some condo.
Right.
And there's that old guy sitting in a chair out in front of his condo. And that is such a typically Florida scene right there.
That was exactly what I said last night. I was like, you want the real Florida? It's that man sitting in the chair outside the condo
entirely, and so. People going to medical offices.
Well, yeah, too, the people die.
And poor Chloe. I mean, we don't know obviously how much is on the editing room floor. We don't know how much, you know, they're being coaxed. But could they portray her any worse?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's funny because I felt like all throughout they were setting her up as being crazy and not willing to listen to, you know, advice and stuff. There was that nice scene with Pauly, where he was giving her surprisingly good advice.
Some of us have differing opinions about that one.
I love how he's like, when I, you know, I had my problems, and they cue the dramatic music, and I was a juvenile, and I had marijuana, and I used to cry myself to sleep at night in juvie. That boy never spent a night in any kind of holding cell, in any kind of lockdown, and I just thought that was hilarious how they cued the dramatic music.
How do you know that?
We did criminal checks.
Yeah,
but
we're not getting juvenile records.
You do not get locked up when you're 17 for having marijuana.
Guess,
they do not put you under lock and key for a marijuana charge. At least not in the state of Florida. I can promise you that.
I thought that scene, I actually would agree with, if we're going to talk about, like, laugh out loud entertainment
in
the series,
out loud at
that scene with Pauly, like, I actually was like, I was dying at that one.
And I used to cry myself to sleep at night.
Well, you know, you, Elizabeth, last week you were talking about how you identified with the scene with Madison on the beach.
Oh, I thought you were saying I identified with Pauly, and I was like,
no. I identified with it. I really felt like he was sincere.
Well,
you know,
okay.
Like, it was good advice.
Oh, my God. I think it was good advice, but here's what I felt like. I don't even know if it's worth debating, actually, the merits of the plot of the series.
Right, of course.
But, like, if we are, just for a second here, I would say that, like, if they're going to make Chloe the crazy character, I get that. But to have her get punched by a girl over a boy and then to make her the crazy one, I felt like that was really unfair.
Thank you. So, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree. Amanda is definitely the crazy one.
Is she still your favorite? Like, that was the question I felt.
Yeah,
the whole time.
because she's kind of sociopathic.
Right.
Not really,
she's
but
a loose
you know,
cannon.
She's got a little bit of crazy to her.
Well, but let's contextualize her behavior for people who are out of state. Bikini contest. Normal people don't do this. They're typically professionals, and by professionals,
really?
Strippers who go there to make an extra couple hundred dollars. That's well known in Florida. No one who grew up here, you know, it's not something you do. It's something that you go and laugh at, that other girls laugh at, young women laugh at. But it's traditionally, yes, these are. There's a lot of strip clubs in Florida, as you've probably heard, especially in this region. That's who enters bikini contests. So either Amanda was put up to it, or there's a backstory to Amanda. It's not typical behavior to be like, hey, Brandon, guess what?
Well, I mean, you're
want to go watch me in a bikini contest?
You're calling her out for atypical behavior in a show that is, I mean, you know, completely atypical.
Well, also, she just punched her friend. Like,
right.
I'm going to say
well,
right
that,
here.
I think punching her friend, that's normal.
See, I don't know. I feel like I've never punched somebody before. I mean, that might be more reflective of me, though, than the reality of it.
How many people have you punched, Wade?
What I find is highly suspect that the punching even happened.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's in the back of an Uber. I think maybe it was, Chloe wanted a nose job. I don't know. We don't know
but
the extent.
I just still feel like every time I watched it, I was like, every scene they had with Chloe and another person, Chloe was like, yeah, Amanda punched me in the face. Everyone was like, yeah, what's wrong with you? Why can't you move on? Like, they're like, why do you keep talking about this? And even like Alex, that's why her and Alex got in that big fight, because Alex was like, why would you come to the party, Chloe? Why wouldn't you want to see the girl that punched you in the face?
I completely agree. And also, it made Chloe seem like the reasonable person throughout the episode.
Right.
And at the end, when they're showing the party and then they cut to Chloe like taking off her makeup and going to bed.
I like that.
I mean, she's not acting crazy at all. She's
right.
just going to bed. She didn't even seem worried, upset, or
right.
annoyed that they're having a party without her. She's just like, I'm totally chill. I'm just not at that party.
And her mom, even her mom was like, oh, I don't believe you, Chloe, right. in the first scene.
But the only time she showed some really unstable behavior, and of course it was off camera, when Pauly and Alex, and God, isn't it great TV watching those two together? Especially when Alex, you see his Adam's apple going, because he's trying to decide, oh, is it time for me to speak yet? And they get the phone call and speaker, and that's the only time that she demonstrated irrational, whatever you want to call it. I don't like to use the term crazy, but irrational behavior.
Right.
But real quick, and I do have to address this. Did you guys notice, because it's been brought to my attention by someone who watched a lot of reality TV, there's no long shots. Have we talked about this? Every shot, like when they were out outside, every shot's tight.
Oh, yeah.
There's an establishing shot.
Yeah.
There's your slow-mo.
Yeah.
And then it's like a John Cassavetes film. I'm dating myself, but it's over the shoulder going back and forth. So there is no time when there's not somebody within 6 feet of these cast members, which I guess as some, I find that highly troubling, because we know that there's never a time when, you know, we're getting that. Like if you watch The Bachelor, go ahead and say it. There's lots of scenes where the camera's using a long lens camera so that they have a modicum of intimacy.
Right.
There's none of that on this.
Well, and that was actually when I saw that scene with Chloe, you know, going to bed or whatever. At first I was like, oh, this makes sense. And then I was like, somebody is in her bedroom filming her getting ready for bed, which isn't like creepy, I guess, because obviously she consented to it, but it's just
no, it's
like,
not creepy at all.
But, you know, it's like a little bit weird. So,
but gets back on track, Brian. What we
So let's talk about some Sarasota, local Sarasota knowledge.
Yeah.
Because the first scene with Juliet and Amanda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're at Lilu Coffee Lounge, which is right on Siesta Key in the village. It's a nice place to go if you visit. Yep. Good coffee, cocktails at night. And it's right next to Gilligan's, where the bikini
Gilligan's
contest,
owns it, yeah.
Yeah, but the bikini contest came later. And then the next scene, or later scene, where there's Madison and Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Madison and Kelsey. They're nowhere near Siesta Key, really.
No.
A good half-hour drive. Down to Venice, and they're at Sharky's, which is right on the beach, and there's the Venice fishing pier in the background, so visit that too. I think
South Sarasota County,
which is perfect, because they can just stop at Casey Key you know, fish house and visit everyone's workplace on the way back.
Right. The cheers of Siesta Key.
I watched it with my friend Rick, and he had a good point. The scene where Pauly and Alex are in the hot tub.
With Juliet.
With Juliet and Juliet's friend
who did not say a word. Yeah,
blonde friend.
Yeah.
Pauly starts off that scene by saying, "Let's have a drink. Sun's going down. It's 5 o'clock somewhere." Well, you know, honestly, Pauly, it's probably past 5 o'clock right there where you are because the sun's going down. I mean,
I must have been talking with my wife over that line. I missed it. He said 5 o'clock somewhere. That's great. I'm glad he got that line worked in there.
Yep.
I was going to say, on the topic of like switching locations, getting outside of Siesta Key, we saw more homes this time. And by homes, I mean the homes of the cast members. And it was interesting to see, like, a lot of them are not, you know, Chloe's condo was very unassuming. Kelsey's house, for the most part, was not anything to, you know, really, like, note. I think, if anything, just of the homes we've seen, Brandon's was beautiful.
Brandon's was kind of awesome.
And then, obviously, Alex's home, you can't really ignore that one.
And Madison's got that huge house that...
Yeah, I guess. Did they say where that was, where her house was?
No, but do you notice Chloe drove, like, a Saturn minivan? And I don't mean to knock it. When I was 22, I was driving cars, you know, just as bad. But, yeah, she obviously doesn't come from the same...
And good for her.
Yeah.
It makes me like her even more.
Well, which is funny why she was teasing Garrett about that, if she's, like, in the same boat.
Well, there were actually a bunch of different scenes. So we had the Venice fishing pier and Sharky's down in Venice. We had Siesta Village. We had the Casey Key Tiki
Fish House Tiki Bar.
And then Garrett and Kelsey went on that little, I guess, anniversary. I mean, how many months?
Real quick, we forgot one location, the Creperie on St. Armand Circle, where Chloe and Pauly talked. There was a quick shot. I paused it. It's La Creperie on St. Armand Circle. That's where Pauly admitted to crying himself to sleep at night when he was in juvie.
Wow.
I know. I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, so they were in St. Armand's for that. Yeah. And then Garrett and Kelsey's little anniversary thing that, you know, everyone...
Can we please talk about that?
Yeah, we can.
Oh, my God.
But that was on Lido. It was on Lido Beach.
Right.
And if you look across the water and you see that island on the other side there, that's actually Siesta Key across the water there.
But let's please talk about that scene.
Yeah, of course.
I was pretty sad because, you know, Garrett's giving her this 365 ways that I love you, and she's like, I got you pistachios.
But let me ask you, Elizabeth, like, I'm watching this and I'm going, this is the most horribly scripted scene. Garrett is dumber than that jar of paper that he just presented to Kelsey. Like, if he doesn't realize she's mocking him, then he is as dumb as a dumbbell. Like, or it's completely contrived, and she's just like... And it also reminded me when she was trying to have chemistry with Alex, because you could tell she's got a modicum of acting skills.
Yeah, she's more natural.
And she's talking to Alex on the banister.
Right, when they're at the bar.
At least to me, I'm seeing her eyes going, please, can you just show a spark of interest in me, a spark of you want to sleep with me or something, because this is really hard for me to pull off.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I know we keep going back to this, and I don't know. I think on Twitter there were some reactions like this, but Alex, it's like, why does he have to be the one that they all like? It just does not make sense.
Well, they had to spell it out this episode.
Right.
It ends with Kelsey saying, but he's got money.
Yeah, it's true. Kelsey,
she straight up basically said, yeah, Garrett's 10 times better looking. I mean, that was the subtext of the whole episode, was she's got this great guy. Yeah, he's a knucklehead. He bought her, Munchables and
but he's so sweet.
Exactly, but he's sweet. He's 10 times better looking than Alex.
Right.
Alex looks like the missing link. I mean, he's not a handsome guy. Garrett's beautiful boy.
Right.
He's sweet.
Right.
He's very sweet.
Like, he's somewhat smart. You know, smart enough.
And he's hardworking. He's a lifeguard.
Right. Know? And he, like,
And Alex is nothing.
Yeah.
Except for his daddy's money.
I was going to say, one of my favorite scenes, this is kind of getting off topic, but... was the scene with Garrett and unnamed, you know, Ab's friend in the beach.
Yeah.
Where they're like, and I turned to the people I was watching with in the Herald Tribune. I was like, do guys talk like this? Because the guy says, like, oh, how are things going with Kelsey? And he's like, I really think, man, like, she could be the one. And I'm like, does that happen? I mean, let me know. Maybe I'm not, you know.
In my notes for that scene, I just wrote down, so painful.
Yes, thank you. Yes. No 22-year-old guy talks like
right,
that. No.
And the next time, the next scene was actually Alex again. And all I can say is that every time Alex appears on the screen, I want to punch him.
Yeah. And this is, you know, and let's, can we address the controversy? I mean, right now there's change.org has a petition. Can we do, should we move on?
Sure.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's very hard for us in Sarasota to not, especially when I saw that fishing rod, the deep sea fishing rod. There's a video, there's multiple petitions, and it's what allegedly Alex, and it has to be fair releasing because he's got a Trump Make America Great Again hat on, and he's holding a hammerhead shark, which in Florida waters, it's illegal to kill a hammerhead shark, and there's also video where,
well, I mean,
I'll let you take.
Yeah, let me sum up. Okay.
Yeah.
So we talked about a little bit about the shark dragging video and how Alex admitted he knew one of the people in the shark dragging video, but he didn't agree with it. And then people started finding all these Instagram posts and videos and pictures, and a lot of them are more innocuous than the people are making them out to be. But one of them, he's posing allegedly, because all these have been erased off of his Instagram, right? So we can't say it's true. But in one, he's posing with the head of, like, the freshly cut off head of a hammerhead shark.
Right.
In another one, a video that came up this week,
wears the same shirt
on. Week, they were obviously, he's on a boat, and they've obviously caught a hammerhead shark, and it had been reeled up. I'm assuming it's a hammerhead because it's got that shape, right? And he shoots the hammerhead a couple times with a gun, which apparently that is fairly standard practice when shark hunting, because you don't want to drag them on the boat and have them right. suffocate.
But a hammerhead's not supposed to be dragged or caught.
Right.
They're but endangered species.
I have a differing... Well, no. Don't call them endangered species because they're not necessarily. Some types of hammerhead shark have been named on various levels, but there is kind of some issue about whether or not they are protected and how protected they are in Florida, which is why the legislature... recently, like Alex Miller, a representative from this area, he has legislation ready to make it more clear, and Governor Scott of Florida asked the Fish and Wildlife Commission to make it more clear as well. Mm-hmm. Because it is a little iffy.
It's iffy. I'm not a lawyer, but the FWC page names four different hammerheads.
Yeah.
The only four, and says you're not allowed to harvest them. Harvest means kill. That's a
right.
polite word.
But also, and I'm not, I don't want to defend, was one last thing
to yeah,
go
sure.
on, Elizabeth, is that we don't know if they were in Florida waters. We have
right.
no idea where that video was yeah. taking place. So I'm not defending it in any way. I'm just saying that the reason that Alex has not been accused of, or not, you know, been charged with a crime is
right.
because they're investigating, and we have no idea.
In the shark dragon, it's an ongoing investigation. Unless, I'm going to say one more thing, is that he did tell People Magazine, he admitted I have done some bad things. I've learned from my ways, which sounds to me that he is preparing for some backlash.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm probably going to switch gears from the shark stuff, but unless you guys want to talk about it more.
I really don't.
But Brian,
I've been dealing with the online comments for weeks.
Made that clear. I was going to say, it is amazing just to see all the comments about, you know, boycott Siesta Key, no matter where you go, what you do. I was going to say, I mean, going back to the Garrett and Kelsey scene, I really thought that I was surprised at how quickly she turned. You know what I mean? Like, I know they're trying to make her into like this. She's going to go out with Alex and that's going to happen. But, you know, she was really pretty mean to Garrett. Like, it went from like they seem to have a loving relationship. She's like, you know, got him the pistachios, got him, you know, criticized him for doing the date on the beach. Like, oh, we could have been at a restaurant. And then also she was like, oh, you're going to come to the party. And then she was like, because you're not very social.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. And it, you know, every time she negged him, it seemed artificial.
Right.
Like,
right.
more than
completely,
like, you know,
yeah.
It's weird because I think she does come across more natural than some of the other people. But whenever she negs him, it just seems forced and like she's
right.
doing it because she's supposed to.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt.
Yeah, in my heart, I feel like she thinks Alex is gross, but I don't know.
So do I. Well, yeah, exactly. In so my heart, I think Alex is gross. So,
well, I mean, can I just bring up the best line in the entire show?
Oh, God.
Oh, it's great. It's when it's at Brandon's party.
Right, because everybody's birthday, every week there's a different birthday, just to make that clear.
Right. And so maybe you can enlighten me, you two, because you're better at, well, at least you, Wade, are better at slang and popular culture than I am.
Thank you, Brian.
But what is, I mean, like, I can guess, but what is bowing?
Oh, geez, Brian.
Wow, you're asking that on the podcast. Yeah. Even I got it. Even I got that.
Does it refer to oral sex? Do you know?
It does, right? Yeah. That was.
If you don't know, you can say you don't know.
I mean, in that context, that's...
Right. That's what I assumed, right?
That's one, though. Like, I assumed that, but I had never heard that one before.
It's not like you're not going to Urban Dictionary and it's going to say bowing, but the way that he kept...
Let me look it up.
...repeating it,
He said bow queen, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I mean...
Which I'm sure for Alex was a compliment.
Yep.
What I found strange before he even said all that is two things that struck me completely false about that scene. One, the camera never pulled back, not once, which at a party scene like that, that's highly unusual. There was never even a master shot. So the things that bother me about that is the best is I think Paulie maybe did have a few drinks in, and the guy's like, "Where's my drink?" And Paulie's like, "I've got it. Just go get your own." I mean, I guess they really worship these guys that much because in the social circles I saw, I mean, somebody would have been like, I mean, if you have any kind of testosterone in you, you're not going to let a man emasculate you by just taking your drink and saying, go get another one.
Especially somebody like Paulie.
Yeah, he's just like the fat older cousin, you know?
Oh, my.
And then you've got, well, did you see the guy he took it from? It's like,
yeah.
But worse yet, is I can't see any young woman enjoy its place. You know, she's beautiful. She's, you know, well, comparatively speaking to Madison, whatever, they're all. She just sits there and watches Alex, the Neanderthal, put his arm around Madison and just completely humiliate her.
Right.
And just takes it. And they're in a group of a dozen people. I mean, what woman would stand for that?
Well, honestly, that was shocking to me, too, because it's already like she, I mean, assuming that any of this is real.
Right.
She had dated Alex last summer, whatever that meant. And he cheated on her with Madison, which is already pretty heartbreaking. And then you see him at this party, not like totally ignoring you when you've made it very clear to him in the days and weeks leading up to this, like, please, like, just all I want is for you to be like honest and whatever. And, you know, now, yeah, he totally ignores Juliet in favor of Madison and makes it obvious.
With physically touching her.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Juliet grab some guy and do the same thing?
Well, that would have been better. Honestly, that would have been better for the show. Like, it's you know, but they had an interesting line with Julia in the show, I think when she was talking to Amanda, which brings me to another point, but where she was like, oh, I'm not the kind of girl, you know, where I'm going to, like, fight over a boy. And it was kind of interesting because that was similar to what happened last week where she had that conversation with Madison. And it wasn't like, I know we've had differing takes on that, but it wasn't like a fist fight. It was like, hey, just can you give me a heads up?
Yeah, it was almost like a coming together of minds there, you know?
Right.
Like, we both are idiots who like this dumb guy.
Yeah.
Let's at least share some information.
Girl, get something better for yourself. Like, even Paulie at this point, I'm like, he would have been better. He seems like at least he's kind of funny.
He's more natural on screen by far.
They should have taken him off
the
cast.
Except in the scenes where he has to push the script.
Exposition, right.
Yeah, where he has to push the script.
And that's one of the weaknesses of the shows is the way that they push exposition, which is always, so tell me, Elizabeth, how do you feel about...
Yeah. Right,
it's
right,
just
right.
Like, oh my gosh.
And also, if I hear about the summer one more time, if I hear one line that's like, it's so, the summer here is so crazy. Oh,
and I didn't grow up on the beach. Were bonfires a commonplace in the middle of the summer?
Well, no, you can't really have bonfires on the beach, but Brandon was not on the beach. He's in the bay.
Bay, right. But I'm just saying, a fire, and it's 90 degrees or 85 at night. Right.
And I couldn't tell where his house was.
Yeah.
I think it's on the mainland looking out at one of the barrier islands, maybe Siesta, maybe another one. But
they purposely obscure some of that stuff, and it does bother me because it's like, just even for context, like to say that Sharkies is actually pretty far of a drive from Siesta Key.
That doesn't bother me. It's not good.
Let's. I want to put everything back to Alex for a second.
Oh. Yes. He,
okay.
He
is, yeah.
Because we all feel like he's a terrible actor,
right?
And we don't understand why people like him. But then he becomes a terrible person again with that whole bowing stuff. Like he keeps pushing it too. He says it like multiple times.
Multiple. Yeah.
I'll tell you, that was the only natural thing I think he did.
Yeah. No, I think he was drunk.
Yeah.
I think he was drunk and he thought it was funny.
He was drunk and he's like,
which, if that's
I don't know
true,
what I can say. But.
If that's true, he's a despicable young man.
Well, and if that's true, they should get them all drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Because then it would be more entertaining.
And then it'd be more Jersey Shore and like, be entertaining. Yeah.
Can you imagine that though? If your ex-boyfriend from high school who you were maybe close with starts talking about like your sex life in front of all these people in a very derogatory way towards you. Like, I wouldn't just be like, okay, I'm gonna go like step outside for a little air. I'd be like, what is wrong with you? Like,
yeah.
Well, and Paige, yeah. Paige, Madison's sister, summed it up with the best line, which kind of sums up Alex in general. And she called it weird, uncomfortable, and so gross.
Paige is my favorite character.
Oh, I love her. Yeah.
She's the voice of reason. She's the person that makes me not want to pray for nuclear holocaust. She's like the one that you watch her and you're like, oh, like she's going into the show. She got dragged in by her sister and she's like, you know what? I'm not going to make a fool of myself. I'm going to speak some truth to just the absurdity that's going on. And in all honesty, I'm hoping they're just painting Alex in a bad light.
Yeah, we have no idea.
You know,
I've never met the guy.
We don't know what's on the editing room floor. Maybe he's a great guy.
It can't be worse than what's already on the show.
What would be fat? Now, this is my dream.
Though his dad is executive producer, so you know, we don't. Yeah. What's sad is Alex and his dad. Maybe they find this behavior to be not only acceptable but entertaining and humorous. I mean, his dad is executive producer. His dad could say,
yeah. I mean, we can't ascribe thoughts and feelings to them necessarily.
But it is interesting, like, that some of the things Gary said, you know, in Jimmy's article about what was the show he compared it to? Like,
to My Three Sons.
Which is what? Like, a very, like, Father Knows Best.
This is 1950s. Well, it speaks to the misogyny.
Is this, like, Leave It to Beaver kind of thing?
Misogyny. It speaks very highly to the misogyny and to the... I don't want to get into that. But it speaks to an idea that America was better when...
women were in their place?
Yes.
Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what those shows.
Right.
A woman stayed at home.
Right.
The man was the patriarch and was not questioned any times. And those two shows do speak volumes of maybe how Gary views the world. And I know I am ascribing, but he said it, you know?
But that's also not this show. I mean, like, not even like in the funny way that you could say, like, this show is far less innocent than something like that. But it's like, we're talking about, like, you know, women getting punched in the face. I'm trying to think of other behavior that was not really that stereotype.
But there is a parallel here to those shows, and that is that the women pine for the men. And that's how these shows, if you watch them, because I did as a kid on Nickelodeon, and I, you know, can go back and play in my head, it's always the girl wants the boy.
Yeah.
And it's chasing for the man's approval, whether you're the wife, the girlfriend. If you go back and watch those old shows, these were shows written by men to show the man's place in that, you know,
it's
era.
Like Betty and Veronica or something, you know, where the whole conceit is just who's going to get Archie.
Exactly.
Archie is Alex.
Sure.
Thanks, Brian.
No, but, you know, I mean, I was raised on Hughes movies. I was raised on, like, you know, all those movies in which, I mean, some of them 16 Candles, Girl Wants Boy, right? But then a lot of them were Boy Wants Girl.
Oh, totally.
You know? I mean, that was all, so... Yeah, so things have changed, but whatever. I mean, obviously, this is not My Three Sons. This is not Father Knows Best.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay? I don't know if this is what Mr. 1-800 Ask Gary wants out of the show, because he's not, when he talks about the show, he's not talking about the show that we're watching, you know?
No.
My dream is that all of this, like, kind of stuff building up around Alex, that eventually it gets to the point where they just ostracize Alex.
Oh, and that's never going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen, but man, wouldn't that be hilarious if, like, the whole thing was engineered by his dad to give him, like,
a little comeuppance?
A little humility.
Yeah, but his dad.
Like the Magnificent Ambersons, and I know I'm dating myself again, but yeah, he needs a comeuppance.
That would be.
It's not going to happen.
Well, the one thing I thought was funny that was almost like a self-aware comment from Alex. And I don't remember exactly when he said this, but I think he was talking to Juliet about Madison. And he was like, you know, Madison didn't even know who I was. He was like, Madison's from the Edgemere days, which I also wanted to, like, kill him when he said that, because I guess Edgemere is where his old house used to be. Who says who dates their, like, life based on where their homes are? But, you know, anyway, so then he said, you know, Madison didn't even know basically that I was so rich until, like, one day, you know, she went to my house and she was like, wow. So that made me think, like, maybe he is aware of, like, some of the things that happened to him. Some of the girls he gets are obviously on behalf of them.
But he's still, though, in that same conversation, and I could be wrong, but didn't he say, remember, that's back when I had my truck, but I was too young to drive it. So I had to get people to come and drive my new truck before I had the Caddy, before I could drive.
I actually liked a girl who lived in that exact same neighborhood where his Edgemere house was when I lived on Siesta Key. Used to ride my bicycle over to her house.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'm sure Madison
those
didn't
were
do
the
that.
Days.
I had to fight off pirates on the way to get there, but
yeah. I had to find people to pedal my new bicycle over to their house for me. Yeah.
You didn't have like a horse-drawn carriage or something. Yeah, friends, it's not funny.
So I guess the question is what's going to happen next week? For some reason, mine cut out, and I didn't see the trailer. But
I got the teaser.
Well, yeah, because I recorded. I watched it on 20 minutes delay, and my trailer got cut off. So Elizabeth, enlighten us.
Let's see. Well, if my memory works, I feel like they definitely teased a more Kelsey and Garrett animosity. So something happening with, you know, something happened with Kelsey and Alex,
okay,
not making Garrett upset. And then I think there wasn't a lot of really follow-up on the other storylines that I can remember.
So maybe Kelsey will narrate and it'll be more focused on her, which honestly would be the best in my opinion.
Well,
otherwise, we're going to get Madison. And Madison, although she seems sweet and in some ways the most sympathetic girl, she's not that interesting.
Right. That's the problem. Like she lacks a lot of, I mean, her sister's the only thing that brings out any interest in her because her sister can like get her to interact. But that was the one last thing I'll just note about the show that kind of bothered me was like, I guess this is the typical setup of these types of shows where it's like big party groups contrasted with one-on-one get-togethers or whatever. So you can get the exposition you're mentioning where someone can sit down and say, so Amanda, you punched Chloe last night. But it's like, it's totally inauthentic. Like, are Pauly and Chloe even friends? Is Pauly the guy who's going to tell Chloe she needs to get a therapist? You know, like, Kelsey and Madison had that lunch, and, like, they had never met before. You know what I mean? Like, if we're just talking about, like, in the context of the show, it doesn't, they're, like, manufacturing these close relationships with people who are only close because they're in the show together.
And, you know, you hit a great point there, because this is why shows like Real World or Jersey Shore are kind of more interesting to watch, because then people are forced to interact with each other no matter what's going on. They're all living in the same place.
That's what made
Terrace House, like in Japan. That's another one where these people are thrown together, and then that creates interesting. I mean, some of it's scripted, obviously, but a lot of the drama and everything just happens spontaneously.
Right.
Partially because the people know that they're supposed to create drama, but then at least there's a more authentic quality to it than this whole, like.
Well, the biggest problem with the show Siesta Key is that the number one credit that you read, executive producer, is Garrett Kompathakis. The biggest problem with the show is Alex. If you go on their social media site, Alex is the problem.
Yeah.
If his father was an executive producer and I'm a writer on that show, I'm minimizing his role. I'm writing him out. And this is why the show's become, in my opinion, very troublesome to watch, because you're not seeing the charisma, you're seeing all the unintentional blowback he's creating, and this is national now, and you're just going, if this was a regular reality show,
right,
he'd be kicked to the curb, I think. Right. And they would focus, Brandon's got a great house. Brandon's way more charismatic.
And he's a lot more attractive.
He's
like, it's believable
more
that three girls would fight over Brandon.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And he's got the house, right. I forget, Brandon's got the looks and the house.
Well, and, you know, I've heard that they have already renewed this show, but I don't know if that's
actually, don't know that for.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been announced or if it's even true. But if you look at the ratings, the Nielsen ratings for last week for the premiere episode, I'm not saying it's dismal, but it's not great. It had, in the key demographic, the only one they really measure, which is 18 to 49-year-olds, it had 674,000 people. By contrast, Street Outlaws NOLA on the Discovery Channel had 1.15 million.
Yeah, it's too early. I don't think we're at a place to start predicting.
I mean, not a lot of, in a very relative sense, not a lot of people watched it.
Well, one point I wanted to make that was interesting just from my personal experience is that last night, you know, some of the Herald Tribune reporters and I were trying to find a place to watch this show, and like none of us, I mean, we range from what, I'm 23 now to like probably 30, 35 tops with the group we were in, you know, none of us had cable. So none of us could watch MTV
right, in
our homes. So eventually what happened is that my apartment building has a lobby, and so we watched it, you know, in the TV in the lobby that has all channels you can ask for. But I was like, this is interesting. Like, I don't know exactly if the target audience is going to be like a high school age kid who could use their parents' TV. But most people, I would say college age and older, are not going to have you know, full array of channels. So
I had to go to a friend's house to watch it.
Yeah, see, so it's kind of like, I don't know what that means for how are people going to access the show if they even want to. But people are watching it.
But I do try to keep reminding myself, though, there's a 15-year-old in a flyover state who's going, look at this beautiful area, Siesta Key, that I've never heard of.
Right.
You know, because it does look beautiful. Look at these.
And it is beautiful.
It is. I mean, anybody who's concerned about blowback for Siesta Key, I think, has nothing to worry about.
Except for the bikini contest was probably inaccurate, but other than that.
In fact, it does kind of portray...
They happen there every weekend.
No. It does kind of portray the boredom of Siesta Key during the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. The old man sitting outside Chloe's condo. That's Siesta Key.
I was referring to how boring the show was.
Whoops.
On that note, that'll be it for this week's episode of Inside MTV's Siesta Key. Tune in next week where we'll talk about the next one and see who punches who. I mean, honestly, if they turned it into a brawl, that would be a step up.
Didn't they tease a brawl after the first show? That looked like it was between two guys. Right? It looked like maybe it was Paula and Alex.
I mean, honestly, I would pay a lot of money to see Alex and Garrett duke it out.
Yeah.
Shirts off, oiled up. Have a great week, everyone.